The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the Dirt Sheet, the show where we take all the news from the week in the wrestling world and we compile all the good stuff right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell on YouTube. Make sure you get all your latest Going In Raw content. And, of course, on the podcast apps, I'm sure they have a subscribe button or a download button or something like that. Automatically just feeds it to your phone. Make sure your feed is updated so you can get all the latest episodes of audio Going In Raw, Larson.
Yes.
Yeah, we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a bevy of reward tiers from $1 a month where you get, the $1 a month patrons this week, they're getting non-news.
Correct.
It's my favorite 10 minutes of internet programming.
In the universe.
There's also a $5 reward tier where you get every single week. You get 3 recap live streams. You get the Raw recap, SmackDown, NXT 205 Live recaps. All live. We have a pre-show and a post-show where we usually just talk about movies.
Yeah, pretty much. What's been happening lately. We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/goingandraw. 13 designs, I think, right now, including
Fun Wrestling. Good stuff. Oh, speaking of Fun Wrestling, the return of W Steve W is happening this Monday live at twitch.tv/Steve and Larson. So that's a lot of fun. Yeah, anyways,
let's get to the news.
In the news.
So there's been some interesting news that has broken this week, starting out, I think, on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this week, first half of the week. So we're doing this earlier than normal.
You okay, buddy?
I'm fine.
Doing okay.
Just not used to talking this much
early
in the morning.
I'm here with you. Everything's
okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Anyways, Mike Johnson of PW Insider stated that there was talk of another superstar shakeup possibly happening after SummerSlam.
They're shaking him up.
Yeah, pretty quickly, James McKenna, I believe he works with Pro Wrestling Sheet, threw some cold water.
Not gonna happen.
On the shakeup rumors, yes, on Twitter, saying, quote, "Not sure where this post-SummerSlam shakeup talk is coming from, but from what I've been told, it's not happening until after Mania." But
the Wrestling Observer added some fuel to this fire, saying others have confirmed to us that there is definitely talk of roster moves in the fall and even some tentative proposed ideas. The one thing is the Superstar Shakeup did great ratings both nights, but there was a big drop afterwards as the shakeups seemed to make for less interesting rosters. But this could be a way to rectify it. You and I,
SmackDown benefited greatly. They became way more interesting.
If you look at before and after, I would probably, if you're going to blame anything for the shows not being as interesting, it'd be the writing, not the rosters.
Mm-hmm.
Because we both felt that the rosters saw a good deal of balance at that point. There was nothing more you could have done. I'm looking at the Raw's women's roster at the time. There is nothing more you could have done there. They went through Charlotte, Sasha Banks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley was still like sort of on the periphery. By shifting over Charlotte, that opened the way for Bayley to come in there and do some good stuff.
Yes. No. After the shakeup, I thought the both rosters were more balanced.
The tag division on SmackDown was an abyss.
Yeah.
And then
they brought the New Day over, revitalized
them and the Usos.
Yes. Wrestling Observer Newsletter continues, quote, "Another aspect being talked about is to send one or more wrestlers from the main roster to NXT. Let's finish. Names in particular would be people who are major stars in NXT that Vince McMahon simply isn't going to push, even if they are over, or people who are doing nothing on the main roster with the idea they can be more useful as major players on NXT. Here's the thing. Bobby Fish is in NXT.
Yeah.
His Reed Dragon partner.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but maybe on his way.
Yeah.
Adam Cole's probably going to sign.
Yeah.
Leo Rush. If they send even two or three people down from the main roster to go back to NXT to strengthen up the NXT roster, I guess, like, there's no room for anybody.
Can we power rank really quick?
Yeah, you would need an extra hour of NXT, which, if you know what, here's the only way I would be kind of into this is if they invest the time and resources into developing NXT into a legitimate third brand.
Yeah.
On par with Raw and SmackDown. Granted, they wouldn't have a TV deal. It'd still be a network show.
Yeah.
And for that reason, probably still have to have their shows, probably still in Full Sail, but smaller venues, say, right, for takeovers.
Yeah.
But, you know, give it a second hour, really push it. I could be on board with that. But it's still going to seem like a step down, at least for now, for people who have been on the main roster to be sent back to NXT.
Well, what did I say off camera? I said, I don't want NXT to become TNA. TNA is generally where stars go when they can't really, you know, cut it on the main roster of WWE. I want NXT to be, look, the tagline is what? The NXT is the future of futures now.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be NXT is the place where burnouts go.
I don't want that either. That's why I said if it's a situation where they're looking to bolster NXT, make it a brand on par with Raw and SmackDown, okay.
Okay.
But if Vince's attitude is like, well, just use this name as an example, Finn Balor's over, but we think he'd be better served building NXT.
Mm-mm. No, he's been there. He's done everything he
can.
He's
the first Universal Champion. You can't send him back to NXT.
Okay, let's just do real quick two power rankings, okay?
Okay.
It's going to be really quick. Number one, what stars were over in NXT that haven't...
Ty Dillinger.
Okay, Ty. Let's put Ty at number five because
he's barely been on the main roster.
He just got there. Okay, who?
But that
else,
fits
though?
The definition of a competitor who's really over in NXT, who they are not using at all.
Enzo and Cass. Where could they possibly go with Enzo and Cass after this? Enzo. I mean, Cass can go wherever.
Yeah, Enzo.
But even Cass is not. Dude, he's not getting over as a heel.
No, because his character is basically non-existent.
People are just annoyed with, like, he's not getting heel heat. He's getting, like, we're annoyed that you're not with Enzo anymore.
Pretty much.
That's not heel heat.
But I think, actually, I think Enzo going back to NXT and trying to harness his talents as a singles competitor could actually really benefit him.
Yeah, no, you know, here's the thing. Enzo and Cass, they're probably, I'll put them number one because I wouldn't necessarily mind seeing them. If, let's say, Authors of Pain clear house again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Redragon, freaking TM61,
yeah.
All those, everybody.
War Machine.
Let's say, wow, War Machine, that'd be crazy. Let's say Authors of Pain clear everybody out, and then Enzo and Cass come in. Now, I don't think at all that those guys would, like, within storyline, have a chance against Authors of Pain. I mean, you're basically a handicap match at that point. But I could see them coming back to NXT and there being a big pop. They haven't done anything with them on the roster. We've seen how over they can be, especially in NXT.
Yeah.
I would be okay with that, perhaps. I can't think of anybody else that I'd be okay with, though.
Well, no one.
Samoa
really.
Joe was huge in NXT.
Yeah,
no
but he's established himself.
He might be Universal Champion in a month.
Here's another name, Chad Gable.
Yeah, okay. I would actually be okay with him back in NXT. Although if they did it before they really gave him an opportunity on main roster, that would be a bummer. That would suck.
But I really like Chad Gable. I do too. I like him a lot. But what's worse, being on SmackDown and never being on the show, or going to NXT and getting some more experience?
Yeah.
Single, especially people that used to be in a tag team, you know, working as a singles competitor.
Chad Gable has an immense amount. And for him, a restart would kind of make some amount of sense.
Yeah.
Because he's no longer in a tag team. He's now a singles competitor. It's kind of a restart for his character. You can send him back to NXT. That would kind of make some amount of sense.
Yeah, I think for the same reason as Enzo.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to relearn how to be a singles competitor and wrestle outside the confines of a tag team.
I don't see Baron Corbin going back.
No.
I just don't look, dude. Here's my thing. I just don't want to see, like, Dolph Ziggler, where he's been. I don't want to see him in NXT.
No, I don't think that was the
idea
either.
I don't want to see the Ascension back in NXT.
But I actually wouldn't be surprised about that. Because they aren't doing anything with him. send back to NXT, have them go back to what their gimmick used to be in NXT. I think that would actually do a lot of good for them again.
Extension?
Yeah.
It's the same gimmick they have now.
Well, they didn't have the face paint and all that stuff in NXT.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, they're just souped up versions of what they are. They just want. That's the only difference, is that they won before and they're not winning now and they like Eddie Money. They're fine being a comedy act. So there's a slight gimmick change there, but
yeah, there's
really is just winning and losing.
Okay. In NXT, they might win. They might actually be on the show on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah, that's the big difference.
Based on Meltzer's quote here, I don't think it's a matter of Dolph.
Mojo?
Of Dolph getting sent down to NXT. I think it says here people who used to be in NXT, they got brought up, aren't being utilized, being sent back down.
Yeah,
that's how this reads to me.
I'm still not huge on it. We got these names here: Enzo and Cass, Chad Gable, The Ascension, Mojo, and Ty. Instead of any of them, I would much rather see the current direction of NXT, where they're bringing people in, developing people from within, or bringing in outside stars,
yeah.
and then having them advance to the main roster. It should be step one, not step four. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
like I said, unless the plan is to make NXT a two-hour show on par with Raw and SmackDown in terms of production value, level of talent, then okay, I can get on board with that.
Then in a limited capacity, like these names,
two of those names.
I really wouldn't want to see him. I wouldn't want to see him. I certainly wouldn't want to see him, but these two I'd be kind of okay with.
Yeah, Enzo and then...
Enzo, Cass, and Chad
Gable. I don't think Cass is going to get SmackDown. They have high hopes for him. It's going to be, if it's anybody, it's going
to
be Enzo.
Dude, just Enzo by himself going down to NXT? This is all speculation, by the way.
Yeah. And for both Enzo and Chad Gable, they use the same rationale. We've been tag team wrestlers for so long, we need to go back to NXT.
Wouldn't even the NXT crowd get over that really quick, though? Like,
Cool,
Enzo's back. Whoa, interesting. But we all know it's because they had nothing to do with him, and they're dumping him on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. But Enzo, you know, even as a solo act, I think he would sell too much merch to be sent down to NXT.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, that is sort of the thing. You see a lot of Enzo and Cass shirts.
Mm-hmm.
That's still bizarre if they broke them up. That's still really weird.
Even a year too early.
Yeah. My goodness.
Really early.
Yeah, dude, a year, like 3 years too early, man. I mean, they really, especially if Enzo was sort of player manager. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could have managed Cass to the moon.
Oh, yeah.
To the moon.
Yeah, I don't know why they broke him up.
That's so weird.
Doesn't really make much sense.
So we'll see what happens. The thing that kind of bugs me about this is NXT, as we all know, is Triple H's baby.
Yeah.
And again, I'll preface this by saying once again, we don't really know what the dynamic is between Vince and Triple H and Stephanie and Shane and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know. But Vince, I mean, Triple H... NXT is his thing. That's where he's developing people. Whenever we've seen like Apollo Crews coming up too early, other guys coming up too early, we feel Ty went up too early. But I could see it either way with Ty because like the 10 chant was really strong.
Yeah, I mean,
great reaction at the Rumble.
Yeah, yeah. I don't necessarily think he came up too early. It's obviously he came up with that new sort of plan in place for him.
That's true, exactly. And so when that kind of stuff happens, we always hear, oh, well, Kevin Dunn wanted this or Vince wanted this. And so they're meddling with Triple H's plan, which seems by all, you know, it seems like it's a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that Vince would be saying, well, I'm not going to use this guy, throw him back down, that's where it gets scary.
Yeah, and also if
because...
And granted, I know Vince is incredibly fickle.
Yeah.
But if you, say, use Ty as an example, you brought him up because his chant was popular and thought you could catapult him to greater success, but you had no plan for him in place, and maybe in the end you really... didn't want him on the main roster, why bring him up in the first place?
Yeah, I know.
Why? What's the hurry?
And here's the danger is that, so we're talking about what this is saying in terms of, you know, guys who were over in NXT, bring him back down. But if he does, that's like step one. What if step four or five or six is, well, this guy's not getting over. It doesn't matter that he wasn't in NXT. It's Dolph Ziggler. Let's bring him, you know, let's shuttle him back.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll ever get to that point.
It's Vince. Never say never, dude. That's all I'm saying. Is that if he finds a good way, if he wakes up one day and he thinks that NXT can be his dumping ground for main roster, who's to stop him from doing it?
Well, here's the thing. If it's a situation like Dolph, who's been the company for over a decade,
mm-hmm.
that's lame. But you have like Zack Ryder. He won the U.S. title, got punished for some dumb reason,
mm-hmm.
got sent back down to NXT, and he kind of Yeah. You know, repackaged himself slightly, formed the Hype Bro with Mojo, came back up, won the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, I know, but, you know.
I mean, if it's
still Zack Ryder.
I know. There's two things here. Where there's a dumping ground, which is lame.
Yeah.
Or there's a place where people can go to kind of give their careers a kick in the pants, like Emma.
Yeah, I know.
She went back down to NXT, repackaged herself. Granted, she hadn't really done anything since she got brought to Maine, but it was an opportunity for her to say, okay, what I was doing on Maine wasn't working. Let's go back down to NXT, try some things, see if something works, roll with that for a bit, come back up to Maine, and see if I can have greater success the second time around with this new idea.
There is precedent for my dumping ground theory also. And it's called the ECW reboot. Mm-hmm. Remember when they was like, mm-hmm. ECW, and then Kane and Big Show mm-hmm. had the main titles, mm-hmm. and they were putting on anybody. And, like, Johnny Mundo went down there, and it was like, oh, it seems dumping ground-ish, but he's actually really cool, so
yeah.
it was kind of okay.
Yeah.
Christian
yeah.
held the ECW title. Like, really? Who cares? So, I don't know. I that scares the crap out of me. I forgot my second power ranking was, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
We'll move on to the idea, the possibility, the potential of Brock Lesnar taking on Johnny Bones Jones in the UFC.
Yeah.
So
last week we talked quite a bit about rumors about Brock re-entering the USADA drug testing pool
mm-hmm.
in an effort to fight for the UFC. Within the near future, whether that
got the itch back.
Yeah, whether that be later this year or after his contract expires in April following WrestleMania 34.
Yeah.
So this past week, John Jones took part in a Facebook Q&A. Of course, John Jones, he's taken on Daniel Cormier
this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Saturday, I think.
And so during this Q&A, he was asked if he'd be interested in a fight against Brock Lesnar. His response, quote, "I would love to fight Brock Lesnar. He's a massive dude.
True.
I mean, it would be a massive draw. Really big for the sport. It'd be a great challenge. That's a big old boy.
True.
I doubt Brock Lesnar would take the fight, though. I definitely wouldn't try to wrestle with him the whole time. I would. You know what? I wouldn't tell you what I would do."
Ooh, he's going to do the animal moves that Daniel Bryan was talking about before. Yeah.
Lesnar was asked by Associated Press about Jones's comments and responded, "Will I fight John Jones anytime, anywhere? Right now, he should be worried about DC, Daniel Cormier, on Saturday night."
Again, very true. Dave Meltzer was on Live Audio Wrestling,
The Law,
and stated, quote, "There's definitely fire to the smoke. UFC wants a Lesnar fight because UFC is having a bad year. I'd heard a couple weeks ago they wanted Ronda Rousey back, and they want Brock Lesnar. They want another Conor McGregor fight this year. They've got a budget, and this year has been terrible. They want some drawing power for the end of the year."
And Meltzer continued in this week's newsletter, saying, "The working plan is for Brock Lesnar to face John Jones, provided Jones beats Cormier this week, with the idea of late December. But that time frame may not work, since Vince McMahon would have to approve of any date until April. We were told that Lesnar versus Jones was a working idea from a number of sources, but one said that it wouldn't happen that early and have to be in 2018. So, I mean, if this
pretty big match.
Fight, yeah, it's a massive fight.
Yeah. I would assume they would, I mean, I'm really stupid when it comes to this stuff, but would they be getting rid of weight limits? Like, I mean, would this be...
Well, there were talks, you know, years ago about
Bones moving up to heavyweight?
No. I mean, there have been talks, granted, it never happened, of
Brock moving to flyweight.
Anderson Silva taking on George St. Pierre. Like these dream fights that...
Oh, yeah, no, they would, yeah, they, but...
But they're in different weight classes, but nonetheless, like, one would have to move up or the other would have to move down.
They would do, what do they call them, catch weights? Is that where they meet in the middle or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, obviously...
Where could Brock and John... I mean, I don't know. How heavy is John Jones?
I don't know. He's a light heavyweight. He's super tall.
And then, but the next move up is heavyweight.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Brock is, like, 280. And what, John Jones is 200?
He's 205. Well, yeah, 205 is light heavyweight.
So I think the limit for heavyweight is, like, 230 or something like that. Unless there's a weight in between.
Yeah, I don't know. UFC heavy. I don't think there's a weight in between. I could be wrong about that.
Like weight limit.
Oh, yeah, weight.
I mean, it's a massive fight. John Jones, despite kind of the legal
heavyweight
issue.
Is 206 to 265.
Okay.
Could theoretically give up 59 pounds. To somebody.
Yeah.
So that could happen. I mean, look, Brock isn't... Brock, yes, Brock is a big guy, but John Jones is a very... I mean, we'll find out Saturday if he still is.
But before he, you know, encountered some of his legal troubles.
He was the best fighter on the planet.
Yes.
I remember watching his first match in the UFC against, I think it was like Stefan Bonner. And, boy, I think I was at Hilton's house. And, man, we were really impressed. And ever since then, I've been, like, you know, rooting for him. And then he gets all sorts of problems and stuff. And, you know, but, man, to give up that amount of weight.
Well, I'm sure he put weight on. I think when he first came back from his suspension, you know, there were reports that he had kind of started taking better care of his body. He was powerlifting, and he was pretty good size for a while.
I mean, dude, even if you put a really, really good fighter in against a guy who's an average fighter, which I think we can agree Brock Lesnar at this point in his weight class is an average fighter.
Yeah.
We saw that in his last match. I mean, he's old. You know, the fighter's going to have a really, really good chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
I mean, that's the case historically speaking. I mean, look at the early days of USC where there wasn't...
Those were the best days.
You know, have a Hoyce Gracie in there beating everybody.
Like a 400-pound guy. Yeah,
yeah, and he's not a large guy, but
absolutely. But still, the idea, like, these days, I don't know when the last time a fight similar to this happened, like what the last time a major weight discrepancy was, but even if he gains 15 pounds, which is, I would think, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he's at 205 now, that's 220, and let's say Brock comes down to like 260.
Yeah, still 40-pound difference.
That's a massive difference! That's a huge difference. But again, I'm not a big UFC guy, so maybe somebody in the comments can school us a bit better on this, or maybe it isn't a matter of one guy is like a top-level fighter, wants to take on a guy like Brock Lesnar,
yeah,
who's itching for a fight, and the weight discrepancy there evens things out. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But that's a massive. That is a huge fight.
Oh yeah,
that is a huge fight. Because is John Jones in DC? Are they fighting for a title?
I think so.
Okay.
I think wasn't. Again, I don't follow UFC either.
Yeah,
but I thought Cormier was the interim champion or the champion.
Yeah, I thought he was, but I don't know if that.
I don't know if that's still the case.
I don't know if that was like, you know. Wait, what is this one? UFC 2.
It's in the 200s now.
UFC 214. Let's take a look here. Fight card.
Yeah, right now Cormier is a light heavyweight champion.
Okay, there you go. I think John Jones is going to win this thing.
He won the first fight between them, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, dick about UFC to a degree, but I'd never bet against John Jones.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, let's see here. What is his record? Anyways, I just want to look this up.
Didn't he lose like one fight early on? Yeah, he got one loss.
One loss, but I think that was the DQ loss against Ryan Vader.
It was pretty early on, right?
It was early on, and he was dominant. It was like it was a DQ because, I don't know, he hit him in the back of the head or something like that,
yeah,
and the ref stopped it. So he is undefeated, basically.
Oh, yeah, losses.
Yeah,
won by disqualification. Yeah.
So, interesting. I do know some stuff, Larson. I do know some stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good job.
So,
yeah, this will be a huge fight, huge money maker.
I would totally get this fight.
Yeah, I would
totally get this fight. This would be fun.
It would be fun.
Moving on. Is the WWE ruining Nakamura? Well, I tell you what, you dumb son of a bitch. What are you doing with Shinsuke Nakamura?
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna preface this. And
what?
You can read this quote in Stone Cold.
Oh, beautiful.
So, on a recent episode of his podcast, Stone Cold Steve Austin was talking with Jim Ross. They were talking about, generally speaking, what they'd want for WrestleMania 34.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
And the subject of Nakamura came up. And this is what Stone Cold had to say about how WWE isn't booking Shinsuke Nakamura.
What? You bring him over and he's going 30-minute Broadway. By the way, 30-minute Broadways is my new favorite term.
That's a good phrase.
Yeah. You bring him over and he's going 30-minute Broadways with half the damn roster. What? Debuted down there in WrestleMania 32, NXT with Sami Zayn. Hell of a match. Hell of a match. A lot of credit to Sami Zayn and Shinsuke, but here's the king of strong style, and all of a sudden, he comes in and he's working Dolph Ziggler, and it took him a long time to finish off Dolph for the king of the strong style. Do you understand where I'm going with this gimmick? That's booking, though. What is the plan? You've got this guy who's one of those talents that just don't come around every single day. He's special. He comes in and you treat him like he's another Joe Blow. What? And that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so.
I think despite the fact that WWE has treated Nakamura like an absolute star, especially his debut on the main roster and how he's been booked hasn't exactly gone without issues.
Yeah.
The fact that he debuted in a segment with The Miz.
Yeah.
Right before the Superstar Shakeup.
Because
that feud seemed perfect.
I know.
You had The Miz, who Daniel Bryan had called soft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And then you have Nakamura come in, the King of Strong Style. That seemed like a perfect feud to start things.
Don't you love how they stumble into potential great feuds? Because you know, when he was doing the thing with Daniel Bryan, A, they never thought Daniel Bryan was going to come out of retirement.
No. Well, they would never
their retirement. Yeah, I know, exactly. That's what I mean. They were never going to let him wrestle The Miz, so what was even the point of doing that? And number two, they had no idea that the King of Strong Style was going to debut in a segment with The Miz, who was being accused of being soft by Daniel Bryan, and you had a perfect... So they just stumble into these potentially great feuds that they go nowhere with. It's like what... Seth and Dean are in there against the Miztourage. The crowd is literally standing Roman, and they don't send him out there. And they could totally have done it, and it totally would have not made a difference.
I know. It wouldn't have made a difference in Roman's program with Strowman at all.
At all. It would have been a special moment, and they just...
We don't know.
I know. I think it was the following week.
The Miz go against the script.
The Miz was sent to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So, literally, what was the point of that?
Yeah.
Instead... Nakamura is put in a feud against Dolph Ziggler, but then he doesn't wrestle for a month and a half.
Yeah.
I understand. You want his first match to be a huge deal on a pay-per-view. I get it.
Yeah.
But not having him wrestle at all for a month and a half?
Yeah.
No. Stone Cold's right.
Yeah.
He should have been going through everybody on SmackDown.
Well, here's also...
And he should have run right through Dolph.
Here's also kind of... He kind of gets to it here. But his match, Shinsuke's match with Sami Zayn was probably a match of the year candidate at NXT. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
It was really good.
Why don't they just let him wrestle a really, really good match? It boggles my mind. It's like, hey, we've got this guy coming in from New Japan. He's a massive star. Let's put him in there against our best actual wrestler, Sami Zayn, right?
Yeah.
So they bring in Shinsuke Nakamura, and granted, they might be waiting until WrestleMania, but you know how it goes. Like, do you think that there's actually a long-term plan to put Nakamura in there against AJ Styles at WrestleMania?
No, I mean, I read an interview with AJ, and he's the one that's been pushing for it. He's the one that pushed for their moment at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And he's been the one saying, if we're going to do this, we're going to take our time and really tease it and build it over the long term.
He told us that personally.
He did, but he's also been saying that in other interviews.
AJ's
the one that's pushing for that, and that's putting in, it seems like, a lot of creative thought into it, how to push it.
At a certain point, do you think AJ is just not, is like, man, I mean, I was just happy to be here and, you know, experience all this, but I'm really seeing how they misrun this place.
I mean, he just came from TNA, too, so.
I know. He's like, hey, no matter what happens here.
It's still better than TNA.
It ain't TNA. Exactly.
But,
I mean, that's kind of my thing, too, is that the one thing about Dolph was never, number one, the whole Dolph feud was crap because Dolph didn't ever have true motivation for anything. It was always like, you've never done anything here. Well, yeah, he had like match of the year in NXT, and that's here. And
he
was,
you know, like top star in Japan for a decade.
I know, exactly. And it's like, here's the thing about Dolph is that I don't see Dolph ever putting on like a, you know, 4.5-star match, but he's a decent wrestler. I mean, we both soured on him.
Yeah.
But we've seen him, we've seen him display the ability to put on a dramatic, compelling match.
His match against The Miz at
Survivor Series,
no
even
Mercy.
And The Miz at No Mercy. So we've seen that he can do that. So instead of what they did, why didn't they just say, Dolph, wrestle the match of your life? Like, if you really want to get Shinsuke over as a massive star, show us all what he can do as a great great wrestler, as a great storyteller, you know? Like, bring him in on that level.
Yeah.
So I'm not even concerned with what, because they have tried to sort of, I mean, it's, bottom line, it's weekly television, you know? It's like, he has to fight, he has to be thrown in the matches.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, they've treated him like a star, and then we're going to see what happens.
Yeah, I think the match next week's going to be pretty telling about, there was a SummerSlam poster that, you know, people have said is official, featuring four participants in the Universal title match at SummerSlam, as well as Jinder, Cena, and Nakamura.
Yeah, okay.
Those are the only people on the poster, so people are inferring from that poster.
Oh, three-way. Wow.
So Baron will interfere in main event next week, Cena versus Nakamura.
I mean, you can kind of, I mean, there that is sort of the, if that's the case, if Nakamura is in a title shot, is in a title match, sorry, at SummerSlam, his first big two pay-per-view. How can you really argue that they're... I mean, are they mishandling him? Yeah, kind of, a little bit.
Yeah.
But they do, like you said, they do treat him like he's a big star.
Yeah.
People are afraid of him.
Yeah.
People should be a little bit more afraid of him.
Yeah.
I'm not huge on this whole artist thing.
No, I'm not either, and that's something else that Stone Cold and Jim Ross talk about is his level of aggression.
Yeah, that he showed. Yeah.
In WWE isn't exactly what it's been in NXT, much less New Japan. But they talk about, you know, him acclimating to a different style.
Yeah.
How it seems like he's not kicking with the same strength and force as he was in Japan, which is makes sense.
Oh, I can't do that.
No.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because this is being filmed on Thursday. Just yesterday we were talking about our SmackDown thing and somebody had the question about how you turn Nakamura heel. Like, the more and more I think about it, I'm like, man, I would love a Nakamura faction. Oh, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
A Chaos Day America.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Dolph thing, yeah, it felt like it took forever. Now he's in a thing with Baron Corbin, who is not a good wrestler. He's not a terrible wrestler. He's not a bad wrestler.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's just there. Their match on SmackDown was decent. But, you know, obviously we want to fast forward to when we see AJ Styles. You know, we want to see that. We want to see, hey, you have Sami Zayn on your roster.
Yeah, Kevin Owens.
Why not reignite Kevin Owens? You have three of the best wrestlers in the WWE, if not in the world, on your roster.
Yeah.
You know. Did he ever fight? Did he fight Cassius Ohno when he came back? Did they overlap at all?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, they did,
but they didn't wrestle at all.
Oh, remember, yeah, Cassius Ohno was back there. Shin, not like this.
Yeah,
but they didn't wrestle. They didn't wrestle. Put him in there with Cassius Ohno. Oh, no, send Cassius Ohno to SmackDown.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Give him the limelight.
Let's answer some questions.
All right, first up from Steve Club Mark Robert Draftmaster Chacon. He says, hey, friendo, power rankings time. Too bad, Robert. We already did power rankings. What's next? I'm joking. Top five surprise returns to WWE. He says, example, Jericho showing up out of the blue.
Surprise
I think
returns.
Did a count out on this.
Yeah, well, he did best returns.
Best returns.
Triple H came back in the torn quad.
That wasn't a surprise, though. They announced that like a couple weeks in advance, or at least the week before.
Oh, really?
They had like a video graphic package.
Oh.
Next week, Triple H.
Okay, then Cena come back at the Rumble.
It's probably number one. Cena, Rumble, that one time. Didn't Edge come back surprisingly and win?
Probably.
At a Rumble?
Yeah, that's right.
Edge, Rumble.
When Lesnar came back. That was a surprise until they spoiled it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, okay. Lesnar. Other Jericho Rumble, I think in, like, 2008.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're missing one. What about when The Undertaker came back as a biker guy?
There you go. American Badass Taker.
Taker returns. There you go. There's your power rankings.
Going in Raw, World Gimmick Table Heavyweight Champion Nick Parsons. Hey, friendos, it seems the big brawls on Raw lately have led to the whole locker room coming out to help split the brawl up. Does this help the feud price of hurting the other talent? For example, being both R-Truth and Goldust were out there even though they are feuding.
Nah.
No.
Doesn't do anything.
I think it's cool. It makes the brawl seem huge. Important.
Yeah, important. We have to put aside our differences and go stop this brawl from happening.
Yes.
Burning down our house.
Yes.
The glorious champion Dylan Haggett asks, hey guys, power rank. Boy, you went heavy on the power rank questions this week. Power rank, who has the best chance to win the Fatal 4-Way for the Universal title at SummerSlam?
It's only four competitors.
So it's only a four thing power
four,
rank.
Four, yeah.
Unless Baron Corbin, number five.
Well, it's not for the Universal title. But
he's
anyways.
The only person who could possibly, potentially, logically, storyline wise, get in on this. By cashing in his money in the bank.
Okay.
It's never been confirmed that it's brands.
I know.
Back in the day, it was not brands.
I know. Number one, who is the odds-on favorite right now to win? It's got to be Roman Reigns.
No, it's not. It's Braun.
Braun?
It's Braun. Because Roman has to conquer Braun for once and for all.
What if he conquers Braun during this match?
No, there's too many other people.
All right, number two is Roman, then.
Number two is definitely Roman.
And then
Reigns.
Probably Brock and then Joe.
Joe, then Brock. Brock is not walking away with that title.
I don't know.
Not walking out with that title.
I don't know, man.
They're trying to boost ratings. They need the Universal Champion on Raw.
James.
Braun would be the best.
No, he would be the best.
Because then Roman Reigns. And Roman still has, in, you know, until he carries it until summer Survivor Series, Roman takes it off him there.
And then it's Brock Reigns at WrestleMania, and then Brock finally beats him. Sorry, Reigns finally beats him clean, regardless if Brock is the one with the belt or not.
Or is it a bigger deal for Brock, for Roman to beat Brock for the belt?
It probably is, but I don't know if they're in a situation where they can have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I still think the better story is Braun carrying the belt through WrestleMania and then Roman beating him there.
Braun
carrying the belt to Mania.
Well, what about Brock, though? What's going to happen with Brock?
He's going to go to UFC.
He's going to fight Jon Jones at WrestleMania. All right, I like it.
James the Highland Scott. Who do you think is the next breakout star for the modern era who will face Cena in 10 years at Mania like The Rock did? So Cena's a part-timer now.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the huge breakout star? Seth Rollins.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any less obvious answers because it's definitely Seth Rollins. He's like the company guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Seth Rollins. They had his, I know that Hot Topic they had his, it's funny because the dude who was telling me, who's like, because I went to Hot Topic and I was like, wanted to see if they had any Young Buck shirts or Bullet Club shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. And I was like, hey, where's your Bullet Club Young Bucks merch? He says, oh yeah, that's that wrestling stuff, right? And I was like, yeah. He said, it sells out like immediately. Like within 2 days, it's gone. And I look and he's wearing a Black and the Brave shirt. I'm like, that's more obscure than Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you wearing that? Is it just because it looks cool? You have no credibility, Hot Topic guy. Then again, it's Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Then I got pissed because they had a Minor Threat shirt there, and they only had a medium, so Lacey got it. I didn't get it because I'm an XL. It's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yeah. I don't have my old Minor Threat shirt. I don't know what happened to it. I want to show my punk bona fides.
Oh, okay.
that I bought from Hot Topic.
Have you ever listened to Wire? Are you familiar with the work of Wire?
Mm-mm.
They're a British band. I don't know if they were in the initial wave of punk, but they started out as a punk band. But a little more noisy, a slight more bit experimental than, say, Sex Pistols or early Clash.
Yeah.
But then they quickly, you know, just transitioned straight to, like, post-punk type stuff. Their first three albums are all really good.
That's cool. I'm going to check them out.
Yeah, check them out.
They are on here. I'll look for it later, but it's in my search.
Yes.
Let's see here.
Kane Kirk! You've mentioned before that Kirk. You wish you could have experienced seeing CM Punk's Straight Edge Society days. Are there any periods of wrestling that you are glad that you didn't have to watch? Thanks, friendos.
The period when I stopped watching it for a reason because it was crap. I looked back on it and it was still crap. So, like, 2006, 7, 8, I guess, around... Like, I was always kind of in tune what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But around that time, like, the women's division was just a horrible mess of, like, ugly Playboy wannabes. And I don't know. I mean, on one hand, I think I missed a lot of... I don't know when the Miz and Morrison started teaming up. I kind of was tuning in. But they did some entertaining stuff.
Yeah. Part of me wishes. I mean, I didn't watch wrestling a whole lot in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And probably because it wasn't good.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish I just didn't really watch it much at all because it wasn't good.
Yeah. Yeah.
From like 91 to 93.
So they were doing that stuff in looks like 2008. Yeah, years active 2007 to 2009. So that's around when I wasn't watching.
Yeah.
So around that time, because it was just, I don't know. And then, yeah, it was around the time. I think I got kind of excited for the ECW reboot. And then immediately when I saw what was happening with it, I was like, this is crap.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to watch this.
And I
just got bummed out. And it was all crap.
Yeah. Next from Herney Fernie. With the rumored superstar shakeup happening after SummerSlam, what if the Universal and WWE Championships switch brands? How would you book their individual runs on their new brand? So WWE Champion would go to Raw. Mm-hmm. Say, for example, John Cena.
Okay.
Say John Cena wins the SummerSlam.
Okay.
And then Braun Strowman
mm-hmm.
moves over to SmackDown.
Mm. That'd be weird if they had like a blue strap.
Mm-hmm.
They change that to a blue mm-hmm. strap.
Mm-hmm.
You said who? Oh, Braun? Braun, okay.
Yeah. But I guess if Cena were a free agent, wouldn't exactly be him moving to Raw full time.
Well, let's say like they do a shakeup where they switch champions.
Yeah.
For like zero reason. Well, that would give us Cena versus Reigns.
Yeah.
I'd immediately just book that.
Yeah.
Just have that be a 6-month feud.
Yeah.
And then
it'd be interesting to see Braun wrestle AJ, Kevin Owens.
Because it'd be fun to see. I think the thing that I would really actually love to see is, in fact, Cena versus Reigns at Mania. I would actually love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially if you did like a 4-month feud where Cena, here's the thing, nobody in the world can out-swag Cena. Nobody in the world can bury Cena. But Roman Reigns could.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
He's the guy they're trying to make into Cena.
I know.
And so you can take all the stuff that Cena is kind of about, the fact that he's now referencing himself as Super Cena.
Yeah.
You can take that stuff, and you can't do that with Roman Reigns. He beat The Undertaker. Like, he has all these bona fides.
I know. They've already been talking back and forth on Twitter.
They've already... Well, yeah, that's why I think they're going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it'd be cool. I mean, the idea of Reigns beating Brock is one thing, but the idea of Reigns beating Cena, like it would seriously echo Rock versus Cena.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be a much huger moment.
Yeah, I think
than
it would.
Reigns beating Brock, especially if everybody knows Brock is out the door.
Yeah, and no, you're exactly right, because Brock can eat losses. You know, he ate one against Goldberg.
I know, in 90 seconds.
Cena's not new. Like, Cena is, if they want to make him the next Cena, they don't want to make him the next Brock. They want to make him the next Cena.
Mm-hmm.
So have him fight Cena. That should be the torch, the handing of the torch.
I know. It really should. Joshua Levi, we are halfway through the year. What grade do you give Raw and SmackDown, and why? Thanks, guys. We're also about a year removed from the draft, the brand extension.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now, grades, I would give SmackDown...
I'd give it a solid B.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. And then Raw, B-.
I would give Raw a C. I mean, it's split in hairs, but I think it's been... There's been really great moments, really crap moments. That gets a C in my book, because that's exactly average.
Okay, I'll say B- for Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say B+ for SmackDown.
All right, so we're just shifting, mm-hmm. shifting a little bit.
A little bit. Video question time. First, from Alexander Corrente. Let's see what Alexander has to say.
Excluding the cruiserweights, they don't count. I would like you guys to compare on each brand, each respective division. The heavyweights compared to each other on Raw and SmackDown, the women compared to each other, and etc. Which division on each has done better than their counterpart? Which has failed compared to their counterpart? And which are you more excited for in the future? Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thank you, Alexander. Compare and contrast each brand's division.
So let's start with the tag division.
Okay.
Obviously, Raw's tag division is much deeper.
Yes, correct.
It's
also features a couple more redundancies.
Yeah.
You got the club, and you got the club, Revival, and Cesaro and Sheamus kind of all occupying the same space.
Although the club seemed to be moving into tweener territory.
Well, yeah. Well, at this very moment, like this past week, that is true. We saw hints of that.
And the Hardys always seem like they're one settlement away from probably breaking up.
Oh yeah. Well, that the broken IP news is now being shifted over to non-news.
Yeah, we can't cover that all the time with every little development, because it really is non-news at this point.
Yeah. So if you guys want to know more about the broken universe IP, plunk down $5 a month and you can hear me talk about it.
Yeah. Us talk about it.
Us talk about it.
So I would give the advantage to the Raw tag division now, simply on the basis of its depth.
Really?
I think so.
See, I would give it, me personally, I would give it a SmackDown, and I'll tell you why. Because it's not the depth that matters, it's the variety that matters. And on SmackDown, you've got such a difference between, the four tag teams they have there. Oh, actually five, if you think about it. Because the Hype Bros are like nobody else. The Fashion Police are like nobody else. The New Day are like nobody else. And the Usos are like nobody else. And the Ascension are like nobody else.
Hype Bros probably going to break up pretty soon, though.
Probably. But in the meantime, they have not yet. And I stand by. That's five tag teams, whereas on Raw, you got four.
There are four, but pretty much all on equal footing.
That's true. Power ranking-wise, they're all on equal footing. But three of them are virtually the same team.
No, I understand that.
That's my point. That's my point.
Whereas on SmackDown, you have two who are legitimate contenders for the title, and then everybody else is way down the line.
That's true. That's true. Okay, so next up, we've got the women's division.
Yes. It's kind of the same thing. And granted, Raw has done a decent job of building up the depth, but you know, for the longest time, it was Bayley, Sasha, and Alexa, and there was a drop off.
Yeah.
Now Nia Jax is pretty close to that top group of three women.
Yeah. Yeah.
SmackDown is kind of the same thing, where you have Charlotte, who was brought over after the shakeup. She's obviously a huge star. Becky Lynch is pretty popular, but for the longest time, the women's SmackDown women's division was benefited from a great deal of depth.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like anybody could hold that belt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now with the shakeup, that's kind of changed.
Yeah.
So I think I would give the advantage to Raw right now. Mm-hmm. I think the four women on top of Raw are probably stronger than the four women on the top of SmackDown. So I think Sasha, Bayley, Nia Jax, and Alexa Bliss.
I agree with you in that term.
Are stronger foursome than Charlotte, Becky.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right about that.
Naomi and...
Exactly. No, you're right. Natalia. However, the thing that I do love about SmackDown, I think you're right about that. For me, I'd probably call it a bit of a wash. Although you're right about Raw being top heavy. SmackDown, on the other hand, has done a pretty good job of making a star, and a lot of people disagree about this, but I know you and I are both on the same boat in this one. Making a star out of Naomi, I think they have their heavy hitters who everybody knows and understands can be main eventers. You know, Charlotte and Becky Lynch, they can always be title contenders.
Yeah,
and then they've made a star out of Carmella, who's missed the Money in the Bank.
Yeah,
and I thought they're doing a good job with her. She's sort of been in the background nowadays.
Yeah,
but she's always there. She's always, you know, hovering. And so I think they've done a good job making up those two. Plus, they have the veteran in Talia, and then they're using Tamina quite a bit now with the Lana thing. Mm-hmm. So I think they've got depth. I understand that. Yeah, they got some heavy hitters, but they're making some good waves.
They're trying to building stars, whereas Raw is relying on the stars they already have.
Yeah, yeah.
Men's division.
Jeez, what a mess. Well, how can you? I mean, with what they've done with the Universal title scene, how do you not give that to Raw?
I know.
You know, which is crazy to think because you've got Shinsuke, AJ, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn over on SmackDown. But, dude, you've made, like, especially with Samoa, like what they've done with Samoa Joe, what they've done with Braun Strowman. Then you have Brock and Roman over there. And then your mid card is Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Dean Ambrose, The Miz.
I know.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Raw has the advantage.
Wow.
Definitely.
Which is weird considering, like, you know, I've given Raw a C, you know?
I know.
Like, when you think about it, it's like, holy crap, that Universal scene is actually really good, and they've got, a really packed mid-card.
Oh, we didn't mention Bray Wyatt either on Raw.
Were we wrong about the shakeup? No, because SmackDown got all the wrestlers.
Yeah.
But they're not letting him wrestle.
No.
What is with this AJ Styles Kevin Owens thing where they can't put together a good match?
I don't know. Both the matches were good until the finishes.
Yeah.
And the finish of the first one made sense.
These should be thrilling encounters that leave us breathless, and instead they just leave us like, wait, what?
Yeah, I know. Is that Wire? Don't do their new stuff. I don't know. I'm not familiar.
Yeah,
with
I have no idea.
Here, I'll walk you through it.
Well, no, just let's.
Okay, Adam Fella has a video question. Let's see what Adam Fella has to say.
Okay.
Hey, friendos, Adam here. How you doing, Patrick Sparks? I saw you take my line last week. Good stuff. Well, how you guys doing? Now that I got that out of the way. My birthday is on Friday, so happy birthday to me. And that ties into my question. That's not just a gratuitous plug. For your next birthday scenario, you're going to have a wrestling-themed birthday party. It only makes sense, right? You guys are a wrestling podcast. What wrestler would your wrestling-themed birthday party be themed after? I would go with Macho Man Randy Savage.
Thank you, Adam Fella.
So, it's your birthday.
It's your birthday.
You have to have a wrestling-themed birthday party.
Yeah.
What wrestler?
Yeah. It says the definitive post-punk record.
Yeah.
That would come to epitomize the genre. All right, I'm in.
You're having a birthday party that's wrestling theme. Which wrestler would inspire the theme to your birthday party? I'll tell you who's mine is.
Braun Strowman?
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing.
Because if I don't like anything,
yeah.
This cake is garbage. This president is garbage.
Garbage.
I can just be a jerk.
Yeah,
and get away with it.
Exactly. And then you finish everything up with an ambulance match.
Yeah, the cake would be like an ambulance, and I'd tip it over.
Oh, that's great, man.
How about you?
Well, I mean, honestly, the first thing that came to mind was Braun as well, but I'm not going to say that. I'll say Sami Zayn, because it's just a big ska birthday party. But then there'd be like some amazing matches.
You don't like ska. No, there's not matches happening. This is just like decorations.
A wrestling-themed birthday party. I'm going to have wrestling at a wrestling-themed birthday party? All right, so you're right. I don't like ska, I'll be honest with you. I don't like ska. I would do a theme of... Hold on. Give me a second. Ooh, I would do a Naomi-themed birthday party. It would be all glowy and cool.
Great idea.
Yeah, but then I'd add, like, Maria and Mike Kanellis, and so it would be, like, live sex parties. Heck yeah, dude. You know they do that shit.
Patrick Sparks has a video question. Let's see what Patrick has to say.
Hey, friendos.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. So I've been scouring the interwebs and the dirt sheets for some news, and I came across one report from the Dirty Sheets podcast saying that at SummerSlam, it will be Seth and Dean versus Sheamus and Cesaro for the Raw tag titles. If this is true, which they're pretty good with all their other reports recently, we obviously won't get that fatal four-way tag match between Revival, Club, Hardys, and Sheamus and Cesaro, which would be fantastic. But with this being said, I want you to book a fatal four-way tag match with a tag team from the 80s, tag team from the 90s, tag team from the 2000s, and a tag team from now. What do you guys think?
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you. So book a fatal four-way tag team match with teams from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s.
All right, so from the 80s, I think we're going to go with... Arn and Ole.
Okay. I was going to say the Road Warriors.
Okay. How about the 90s? We go with the York Foundation, featuring the Computerized Man of the 1990s.
Did they ever...
I have no idea.
Well, then we can't...
The Patriots, then, Larson. The Patriots.
What about the Enforcers?
Oh, even better. Okay, so Arn and Ole versus Arn and Larry.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Three Stooges.
The 2000s.
Chronic.
Okay.
It's Chronic.
Chronic, good. The
2010s.
Authors of Pain.
Oh, wow. That's great. Who wins?
Authors of Pain.
Authors of Pain have to win, absolutely.
Lee Fox has a video question. Let's see what Lee Fox has to say.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though.
What?
Hold on a second. What if the Enforcers and Arn and Ole... What if both Arns ditch, they swerve their tag teams and they team up to be Ultimate Enforcers?
Well, they'd be true Enforcers then, yeah.
They'd be the true Enforcers. Do you think two Arns couldn't beat the Authors of Pain?
But I don't know, because whether two Arns would work together as a tag team.
They'd work for, he's the greatest tag team wrestler
exactly.
on the planet.
Remember that episode of Seinfeld where Jerry met Janine Garofalo and they were the same person?
Same person, yeah.
And it didn't work.
I like the one where they found an actress who looked like Jerry.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was good.
Because they were too alike.
Yeah,
the people that are too alike might not complement each other well.
Yeah, but wasn't Ole just a crappier version of Arn? And well, they were fine together. So then amp that up to actual Arn.
Still might not work, man.
We'll have to test this out on like 2K17. Arn and Arn versus the Authors of Pain.
I don't think that's
Can we please do that?
I don't think that'd be an accurate.
We'll just have the computer sim it and see who wins.
All right, whatever.
Because we're gonna do that. Oh, we're definitely. If you want to see that, let us know in the comments.
Next, from Lee Fox. Let's see what Lee Fox has to say.
Hey there, friendos. It's your friend from across the pond, Lee Fox, here. We're back with another video question. I'm going to try and add a bit more charisma and actually look at the screen this time around. My question is about Darren Young. He's obviously cleared from injury and he's coming back soon. I think he was on Raw before he got injured. Would you like to see him come back as the Bob Backlund sort of thing again? Or do you reckon he'd make a nice addition to the mid-card on SmackDown? Or would you like him to become part of Titus Worldwide? And how would you introduce it? Also, Larson, as you don't too sweet, does this mean you don't fist bump either? Thanks, friendos.
Thank you, Lee. So, Darren Young, he's been cleared to return.
Oh, nice. I had no idea he was injured.
Yeah, he hurt his elbow.
Oh, wow.
So, Lee asks, would we like to see him return with Bob Backlund?
No.
Join Titus Worldwide?
No. Join Shinsuke Nakamura's faction, Chaos Day America.
Okay.
That's what I want to see.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think about Darren Young? I actually really like Darren Young.
I do, too.
I don't really want to see him back with Titus. I mean, they were good together, but I feel like they need to go their separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
I thought his stuff with Backlund was entertaining, but they didn't do anything with him.
No.
So, I don't know.
I would be curious to see what their plans were for the Darren Young Backlund.
Yeah, I know. Me too, if there were any plans.
Because he had that match against The Miz for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
They had the weird finish, and then he was never in the title picture ever again.
That's weird.
So, let's be curious to see what their actual plans were for him.
No same. Next up, Juggernuts has a question.
Hey, friendos, it's your boy, Juggernuts, the Going in Raw Grand Slam champion with my first ever video question. Yeah. So, this is a question regarding NXT. Now, I recently watched a video from What Culture called 10 Things That WWE Wants You to Forget About NXT. And they brought up the fact that the system kind of hurts new talent. In the sense that, you know, it's harder to make new stars. Now, I thought about it, and, you know, that kind of made a lot of sense. Because if you think about, like, some of the most over guys that have either graduated from or are still in NXT. I mean, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Roderick Strong, Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, Asuka. I mean, do you know what these guys have in common? They all established themselves somewhere else before coming in, like whether it be Ring of Honor, New Japan, or the other indies. I could be wrong about this, but it feels like an indictment against NXT, their ability to create new talent. I get that it's a wrestling company, and you want to put guys in there that already know what they're doing, but if this is the case, then why even have a developmental system at all?
Thank you.
So I think his question is, does NXT actually hurt developmental talent? Because all the talent that come up and are big cut their teeth elsewhere.
In the indies, and essentially go to NXT, it seems, to learn the WWE style, getting prepared to move up to the main roster.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They do stuff with them. I mean, they take talent that's already established, like Bobby Roode. You know what I mean? Like, he came in from TNA. Yeah, he's an established talent. But then what do they do with him? Amazing things.
Yeah.
Austin Aries, they did really, really good things with him. Finn Balor did really, really good things with him. So,
and they have developed some stars in-house.
Authors of Pain,
Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was developed in-house.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think it... I mean, you could say that developmental talent might have fewer opportunities to be on TV, but they have a whole touring brand dedicated to developmental in Florida. And if they still have the opportunity to cut their teeth doing regular shows, find their characters, develop them, work on them in these live settings, get to the point where management and the talent feel comfortable taking the next level, then you have Patrick Clark, Velveteen Dream. Mm-hmm. You have Street Profits who are going to come up soon.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see Cesar Bononi and Sonya Deville.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what they're going to do. They're in-house talent. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
I mean, Velveteen Dream's getting a lot of TV time.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, I love that dude.
Yeah, he's great.
He's hilarious. Let's see. Next up, Adam Mayhem. See what Adam has to say.
Buenas tardes, friendo universi. Bienvenidos a Chit Chat. With the real champ, not that mask weirdo. Steven Larson, I have a quick question for you. We're halfway there. We're almost at SummerSlam. So I want you to do the same thing that you did last year for me. Build and book your dream card for WrestleMania 34. Move the championships however you want to move them. Do whatever you want to do. Build the best WrestleMania card with the current roster. Peace out.
Thank you, Adam Mayhem.
Thank you, champ.
So, right now, let's book 5 matches for WrestleMania 34. Main event, AJ versus Nakamura.
For the WWE title.
Yes.
Next,
Roman versus John Cena.
Correct. For the Universal title.
Yes.
That for the Universal title.
For the United States Championship.
United States Championship.
Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
There you go.
For the Intercontinental title. Rollins versus Dean Ambrose.
There you go.
Blow-off match for their
feud. Yes. And Asuka versus Charlotte.
Good. All good stuff.
All great stuff. Next up, Carlos Hackworth has a question.
Hey, what's going on, friendos? Seeing as how SummerSlam is right around the corner, and, you know, a lot of unexpected things tend to happen on the big four pay-per-views, what are your top 10 things that you would like to see? I guess your top 10 fantasy bookings for SummerSlam. My number one will probably be the Club versus the Wyatt family, seeing as how SmackDown and Raw is a joint entity when it comes to SummerSlam. I would like to see the Wyatt family versus the Club, and seeing how Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson seem to be going facious. It'll be good to see them team up with Finn. So, what are your thoughts? And keep up the good work, friendos.
Thank you, Carlos.
Carlos, we are going to have to defer to our count out this weekend because
we'll Saturday, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. So just stay tuned for tomorrow, and we've got the exact idea.
10 things that should happen at SummerSlam.
Correct. Next up from AO Worm. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, what's good, everybody? It's AO Worm here with another video question. So about the Mae Young Classic, of the 36 competitors, how many do you think will sign with WWE? Do you think they'll go to NXT, or do you think they will brand them as their own division and have their own show on the network? And exactly what will each of their ceilings be? Like, will they just be there as jobbers, or do you think they'll actually become champions over time? Thank you, friendos.
Thank you.
Thank you, AO Worm. Great question. The Mae Young Classic competitors. So I think Meltzer mentioned that they've already signed a number of them, more than they had thought they were originally going to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Kairi Sane signed before the tournament started.
Yeah. She's going to be huge.
Yeah. Bianca Belair is already in developmental.
What is the
as was, I don't know her name is now, but Kimberly and Crazy Mary Dobson.
I think the crowd was super behind Jazzy Gabert, the large German lady. So I'm pretty sure they're going to sign her. And then, of course, there was the Four Horsewoman.
Oh, Shanna Baszler?
I think that's the name, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think...
Shayna Baszler?
And I would think they're going to sign Candice LeRae.
Yeah.
I would think. I mean, I think she went pretty far in the thing, I think. Anyways. I think... I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I'd like to say they're going to do their own show on the network. I have no idea if that's the case.
Yeah, no
idea.
I
haven't seen that.
I mean, if they're going to sign a dozen of the competitors,
they would have to
think they would need to sign.
Or they're going
to
start
their own show. I know.
Exactly.
Who knows?
But,
I mean, like, you know, it's much like the Cruiserweight Classic, you know, there was some competitors came out there that were instantly top of the card on 205 Live, and there were some that were there to take losses, and there were some that were signed that are hardly ever on the show.
Grandma Talik!
So I would expect the same if the women get their own show.
Ooh, in Toronto. Whoa!
You know, whoever wins the thing is going to be a massive star and is going to headline the show.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they got to have people fill out various spots on the card.
Yep. What are you going to do? That's my answer. Everybody.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Anyways, that's it for now, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.